Have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. My, what a joy it is to greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing here at Worth Baptist Church in the midst of the summer season that is bringing to us a spiritual encounter. We are praying and asking and believing that God is going to send a revival, not only to our church, but to the churches throughout our community and throughout our city. We would invite you, as a listener to this broadcast, to join with us in this concerted effort, as people are doing all over the city, to pray for revival during the summer. Summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church, and we are rejoicing in the many blessings of God upon the ministry of our church. We would give to you and your family a cordial invitation to come and visit with us today. If you do not have a church home, or if you are not regularly engaged in Sunday school and church attendance, we invite you to come and worship with us today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible. Our motto is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. So today we invite you to come and share in our survey of the book of Hosea in our continuing survey of the Bible week after week. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11. We are currently in a series of messages on Sunday morning under the title, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. This is a 7-message series beginning last Sunday and continuing through Sunday, July 31st. My message for the 11 o'clock hour today will be, Where is the promise of His coming? We hope that you'll come and hear these messages on the second coming of Christ every Sunday morning between now and July 31st in the Sunday morning worship hour at 11 o'clock. Remember, the title of the series is Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. And then our Sunday evening worship hour begins at 7. We are now in a series of messages from the book of Daniel. Tonight we continue in chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the man turned beast. Let's see how the judgment of God affected this great king. In his pride, he lifted himself up to claim all that had been done by his own power and his own majestic glory. But God moves in on the scene, and we shall see tonight how Nebuchadnezzar the man becomes Nebuchadnezzar the beast. That's in chapter 4 in our continuing series of messages from the book of Daniel, in the Sunday evening worship hour at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday, 1 week from today, July 2nd, we are designating the day for God and Country Day here at Worth Baptist Church. This, of course, is the traditional 4th of July weekend. And we believe that people all over this city will want to honor God and will want to stand for their country on July 2nd, 1 week from today. So we're designating it as For God and Country Sunday, July 2nd, and we invite you to come and share the good things of the Lord with us in those special services 1 week from today. Then we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write us this week. We will send you by return mail without obligation to you a copy of our booklet entitled Times Like These. Write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Signs of His Coming. We shall look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. But first, I invite you to join with us in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we know that we have that blessed hope based upon Thy word that Jesus Christ will come again. It is our prayer that as the broadcast goes out today, that it might find a lodging in the hearts of all who listen, that many might come to know Christ as their own personal Savior by listening to the gospel message today. Bless the services of worship today. Send revival, we pray, not only to our church, but to all the churches of our community. And we shall praise Thee for it as we ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24, at verse 3, we have these words from the lips of the Savior. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? No one can deny that our world is on a fast-moving collision course. Surely the explosion could come at any moment. Above the fury of the mad, mixed-up, materialistic world in which we live, it seems already that we can by faith hear the sound of the distant trumpet. Framed upon the lips of all the saints of God all over the world are these words, Goodbye, world, I'm going home. We often sing the song, When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Beloved, when that trumpet sounds, no one will have to identify it. We believe that the saints of God all over the world will recognize the trumpet of the Lord. May I share with you my own personal testimony today on this broadcast? A long time ago, when I was 11 years old, I settled the question of the eternal destiny of my soul when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So, beloved, today, if the trumpet sounds, my ticket is punched, my bags are packed, my mansion is reserved in the sky. The second coming of Christ is one of the most prominent doctrines in all the Bible. The Old Testament prophets prophesied His coming. The New Testament apostles preached about His coming. And Jesus Himself promised that He would come again. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Three words from the lips of General MacArthur gave the Filipinos a great hope. Those three words were these, I shall return. The words from the lips of our Savior have given people in every year and in every century since they were spoken a blessed hope. Those words are these, I will come. So today we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming is imminent. He may come at any moment, at any day, at any time. The statistics that set forth the coming of Christ in the Bible say to us that at any moment Jesus Christ may return. One out of every 30 verses in the Bible speaks of His coming. 318 times in the New Testament the coming of Christ is prophesied. A recent survey among the so-called leading seminaries of America revealed some startling facts, some that are almost unbelievable. When the questions were put forth, the students of these so-called leading seminaries said, 71% of them said that they did not believe in an afterlife. 60% of them said they did not believe in the virgin birth. And beloved, 98% of these students questioned said they did not believe that we would ever see Jesus. What a sad commentary on the future preachers of America. I'm glad to report to you today that there is a seminary, and there are several seminaries, but I speak expressly of one, the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas, whose students do believe in the afterlife, whose students do believe in the virgin birth, and whose students do believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the coming of Christ will be visible. He will return bodily just as he went away. We believe the coming of Christ is in two phases. Phase one, we believe that Jesus Christ will come in rapture for his saints. After that ensues the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, a period of 7 years. And then following that, we believe that Jesus Christ will come in the second phase of his second advent. It's called the revelation, when Jesus Christ will come with his saints to rule and reign upon the earth. My text from Matthew 24:3 suggests two basic things. Number one, that the disciples believed that Jesus would return. And number two, that they believed that there would be definite signs of his coming. So my message is entitled, The Signs of the Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most prominent signs, I believe, is the mental state of our world. There is so much depression, anxiety, fears, pressures, and frustrations that surely Christ must soon come to relieve the mental state of our world. Did you know that 1 out of every 10 babies born in this generation will spend some time in a mental hospital? Did you know that 1/2 the hospital beds in America are occupied by mental patients? Did you know that 1 out of every 5 American families would need the help of a psychiatrist this year? A recent survey among 600 college psychiatrists proved that 30%, I repeat, 30% of the students in the colleges and universities of America need psychiatric care. This is a generation and a nation of psychological jitters. Even the psychologists are breaking down listening to our problems. The suicide rate among the psychiatrist is greater than that among any other group at large in our society. This is a generation that's about to have a nervous collapse. We must have our tranquilizers by day, our barbiturates by night, and our pep pills to get us going the next day. Jesus spoke about these things. In Luke chapter 21 at verse 25, Jesus said there would be distress among nations with perplexity. Jesus said in that same verse that men's hearts would be failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Again in Matthew 24 and verse 10, Jesus said that many should be offended. Many shall betray one another and hate one another. We are living in an hour of offense. Even the gospel message offends many. People are betraying one another. Friends are hating one another. These are definite signs of the coming of Christ, and the mental state of our world says that Jesus Christ may come at any moment. And then in the second place, there's the moral state. The moral breakdown in our country is unparalleled. Venereal disease in many parts of our country is at the epidemic stage. Sex, pornography, divorce, these things point to a total moral breakdown of our society. The TVs, the movies, and even the pulpits are sounding forth a new morality which is nothing more than an old immorality. The pulpits of our country are sounding forth the situation ethics, saying that in certain circumstances, these things that are ordinarily wrong would be right. That's like trying to take a group of bad eggs and make some kind of an arrangement to produce a good omelet. Someone has observed that no arrangement of bad eggs can make a good omelet. Someone else has observed that the reason we can't agree on the distance of a foot is because we've lost the yardstick. Beloved, America has lost her moral yardstick. God's yardstick is the Ten Commandments. We believe if it were wrong to break the commandments and disobey the laws of God when Moses wrote the Ten Commandments, that it's just as wrong today. If it were wrong to commit adultery in Moses' day, it's wrong in the 20th century. If it were wrong to lie in Moses' day, it's wrong today. If it were wrong to cheat and kill in Moses' day, it's wrong to do so today. Because the principles of right and wrong never change. God's yardstick is never shortened and never lengthened. It always remains the same. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, at verses 26 and 27, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." He went on to say, "As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." How was it in the days of Noah and Lot? Jesus said they went on with their everyday materialistic approach. They married. They were given in marriage. They planted, they builded, they tore down, they erected, they exchanged, they bought, they sold. All of these things spoke of an everyday world that was not looking for and not expecting the judgment of God. So the Bible declares that when they thought not, the floods came and destroyed them. And when they did not expect it, fire and brimstone fell from heaven and destroyed them all. Beloved, I must warn you today of the judgment of God upon our nation, except our nation repents. Unless we have a revival, unless we have a turning to God, God's hand of judgment is upon this great land of ours. I believe the only way that God's judgment hand can be stayed is for a revival to break out among God's people. So I trust this moment, as a Christian, you'll be determined to put Christ first in your life, to put the church first in your life, and let's correct the morals of our nation today. The moral state of the world today is a sure sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's another sign, the increase in lawlessness. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That word iniquity means lawlessness. Paul enlarges upon it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 1. Listen to these words. Paul writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." This is a description of what's happening in our world today. Men are going after pleasure. Men are breaking laws. The increased lawlessness in our nation is a sure sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 at verse 9, "That ye shall hear of wars and commotions, rebellion, revolution, lawlessness." These are things that point to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's another sign, and that is the sign of increased travel and knowledge. From the book of Daniel chapter 12 at verse 3, we have these words. God says to Daniel, "Shut up the book, seal the words of the book, until the end time, when many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Beloved, a part of this verse of Scripture could not have been fulfilled until this generation. With the modern means of transportation, the cars, the planes, the airplanes, people are running to and fro. And what about the increase of knowledge? We're gaining more knowledge in the next 10 years, the experts tell us, than we've gained in the past 200. It has been observed that knowledge doubles every 15 years. But the sad truth of the fact is that men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Increased travel and increased knowledge, these are signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is yet another sign, the cry for peace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 3, we read, "And when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh." On November the 11th in the year 1918, people all over America and around the world celebrated Armistice Day. They declared that the war was over, that World War I was the war to end all wars, and from now on there would be peace. But World War II came. The Korean conflict came. The Vietnam War is on now. No matter how many peace treaties are drawn up, no matter how many peace conferences are called in Paris, no matter how many summit meetings are called in Moscow or Peking or Hanoi or Washington, there can be no lasting permanent peace until the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, comes to reign upon the earth. So the cry that is worldwide for peace is a sure sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the sign of worldwide apostasy and unbelief. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that men will not endure sound doctrine. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11 that many false prophets would come. Amos said there would come a famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of the word of God. Paul said again in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some will depart from the faith. Many are departing today. The Episcopalians have sanctioned alcohol. The Presbyterians have sanctioned abortion. The Methodists have sanctioned homosexuality. The Baptist recently sanctioned a commentary that in some places refutes the inspiration of the Scripture. These are days of worldwide apostasy and unbelief. We are living into the days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus. There's one final sign, and that's the regathering of the nation of Israel. These days, Israel is going back. The people are leaving countries from all over the world, traveling back to their homeland, and this is a sure sign of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question in closing today. With all of these signs of the soon coming of Christ, are you ready for the trumpet to sound? Are you ready for Christ to come? If not, you can be by your simple faith in the Lord Jesus this moment. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.